This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Wisconsin is known for having some of the most restrictive abortion laws in the nation. Currently, only 3 clinics in the state provide abortion services. If women are able to get appointments, additional restrictions such as no Medicaid coverage, state-directed counseling, and a 24-hour waiting period require multiple trips. While this can already be a significant barrier for some women, now the coronavirus pandemic also presents other challenges. Telemedicine has been widely encouraged and used during the pandemic to reduce the spread of COVID-19. But despite its use being approved at many medical facilities, the same has not applied for abortion clinics. There is an argument to lift the current ban on telemedicine for abortion care. Barbara Alvarez, a UW-Madison PhD student studying information access and abortion, says services like medicated abortion and informed consent can easily be done over the phone or online, eliminating unnecessary multiple trips to a clinic. To find out more, I'm joined by Alvarez and Dr. Jenny Higgins, UW-Madison professor in obstetrics and gynecology and gender and women's studies. Dr. Higgins begins by explaining what paved the way for a number of restrictions that were imposed on abortion access for women in Wisconsin.
With the change in the shape of our legislature in the 2010 election, right? So where both the governorship and the state and the Senate and House changed, right, from Democratic to Republican, that paved the way for a number of restrictions that were proposed and implemented between, say, 2011 and 2013. Those restrictions were numerous and multifaceted in terms of their attempts to, and successful attempts to restrict abortion access. So for example, we have a ban against telemedicine for abortion care or medication abortion, which is a pill that can be discussed remotely and then taken by the patient in her own home. In many other states, telemedicine is common practice across a variety of health situations, including medication abortion, but that is outlawed here in our state. Even though the use of telemedicine is widely practiced in our state for other kinds of procedures, as we're seeing here in Wisconsin during COVID right now, and even though telemedicine for medication abortion services is the widespread recommendation from all major professional organizations in our country. Another type of restriction we face in our state is a 24-hour mandatory waiting period. So a patient will has to go physically to a healthcare center, receive mandatory counseling that contains some non-factual information, and she has to pay for that visit, even though she receives no medical care. She then has to wait at least 24 hours before reporting back to the clinic to receive either her medication abortion pills or her in-clinic surgical abortion. That restriction places huge demand on patients who have to travel large distances to get to those facilities. It's difficult to take 2 or more days off from work to find childcare and other things. A restriction in our state that's been on the books for a long time, but deserves mention, is that we are prohibited from using Medicaid insurance to cover abortion costs in our state and elsewhere. Barbara, I'd love to hear if you'd have other restrictions or limitations you might add.
No, I think those are good. You mentioned something about how telehealth is being used widely in our state for all other types of health services. And it's interesting because on April 2nd, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services put out a release encouraging patients and providers to provide telehealth services during COVID-19. But as Dr. Higgins said, that doesn't include abortion. So even though telehealth is being used and is being recommended during COVID-19, abortion is exempt from that.
Now, with this release, was abortion services exempt strictly in written form, or was it just excluded, leaving clinics unsure of where their place is during, especially during COVID-19, where a lot of medical places have had to adjust their protocols and the way they service patients?
Do you know the answer to that, Barbara? I'm not sure.
You know, when I looked at the release, it didn't say anything about abortion in the release. I can't speak to what confusion that may or may not have caused. I will say, though, that in the release, it included that the Division of Quality Assurance had made it possible for healthcare providers to no longer need a separate certification to provide these types of services. So again, it didn't say anything about abortion, but it does show that there have been dramatic steps have been taken to provide telehealth services and other health services.
Right. And that's important because Planned Parenthood, of course, offers many medical services outside of abortion. So when it comes to Planned Parenthood's strategy and response, how has COVID-19 changed what services these clinics can offer throughout their whole spectrum of what they do for patients?
Well, so it's interesting because if you go to the Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin website, any of the clinics, there's three of them, Sheboygan, Milwaukee, and Madison. There are telehealth options for every single service, including STD screening, annual examination. The one exemption is abortion. So Planned Parenthood has really stepped up and is providing these telehealth services where they're able to do so, but the law doesn't allow them to do it via abortion. The other thing is, in Illinois, there are typically about 9 Planned Parenthood clinics in the Chicago area, like in the city of Chicago and in the surrounding area of Chicago. Right now, the Planned Parenthood clinics in Illinois have consolidated to just 6 clinics. That means that of those 9 from Chicago, now there's only 2. So there's only 6 clinics in the entire state. And that's significant to women in Wisconsin because, as Dr. Higgins explained, there are so many barriers, as it is in Wisconsin, to receive abortion that many people seeking abortion go out of state, and Illinois is a natural location. And so because those services are being consolidated in Illinois, that's also going to impact people who are coming out of state.
As you know, the Wisconsin Supreme Court overturned Governor Evers' stay-at-home order. Does that further complicate what policies are established at these medical clinics?
It's a great question, and things are changing every day, right? So we're following along with you. We do know that early on in COVID, legislators in Wisconsin were leveraging COVID as a way of saying abortion and contraception aren't essential services, even though we know that abortion and contraception are time-sensitive essential services that people need in order to prevent and terminate unwanted pregnancies. The ways in which COVID has shaped patient care has affected abortion healthcare facilities, just like all other healthcare facilities, and clinics have really had to strike the balance between protecting staff and patients, that's of utmost concern, while also trying to meet patient demand and the need for services at this time. I wanted to go back a moment when we were talking at the beginning about what types of restrictions exist in Wisconsin. Some of the research that we've done at our research center at the university has been to examine how birth rates and abortion rates have changed in our state over time, and in particular as a result of some of the restrictions. So between 2010 and present, we have lost certain abortion clinic facilities, which have increased the driving distances to those facilities in a number of counties. And what our colleagues have shown is that in those counties that experienced the greatest increase in distance, right? So those counties that lost the most access, they had significantly increased birth rates, meaning clearly people weren't getting the abortion services they needed. And those increases were particularly notable among low-income Wisconsin women. And so we're already seeing that folks are having restricted access in our state in light of COVID, as well as these efforts to suggest that reproductive health services aren't essential, we may be facing even more challenges to access.
Is it also a big concern for clinics and for people who need these clinics that they're, sometimes their only option is to travel? And in a time when it's not advised to stay in a hotel, you know, the whole point is to stay in your community as much as you can. How does this impact further risks?
What I think is interesting about that is in Wisconsin, we have something called informed consent, which means that it is mandatory for the physician to explain the risks of an abortion, the procedure of an abortion, information that can be done through a conversation. It's nothing that needs to be in person. First of all, not all states have informed consent. However, some states that do have mandatory informed consent, Wisconsin's one of them, they do allow telehealth options. For example, Minnesota has mandatory informed consent. However, they will allow you to do that meeting over the phone. Michigan is another state. These are both border states of Wisconsin. So it's another reason why women may go to Minnesota or Wisconsin, because they can do these things over the phone. Michigan allows people to go on the Department of Health website and read the forms and the manuals there, and then they can print out the form and sign it and bring it into the clinic on the time of their procedure. Wisconsin doesn't allow those options. In Wisconsin, you have to be in person to have this informed consent visit. Then you have a mandatory 24-hour waiting period before the actual abortion procedure. That's assuming that there's even an appointment available the next day. So there's already these barriers. And right now in a global pandemic, to have women drive to clinics and leave their homes for a meeting that can easily be done on the phone or via the internet, and it's been shown that other states are doing that, is really unnecessary.
And does the informed consent also apply to abortion medication?
It does. Whether it's a surgical abortion or a medication abortion, informed consent is required, and it has to be in person.
If I may, I may make a small clarification there, and I know this is what Barbara meant. Any patient anywhere has to give informed consent before undergoing a procedure, right? So that's just a standard part of medical practice. What Barbara's talking about here is mandatory in-person counseling and consent, which can very easily be done over the phone, particularly in a situation like COVID. In states that don't have this mandatory 24-hour waiting period, people can provide that in-person consent and get their counseling the day that they receive an in-clinic abortion or medication abortion pills. But in Wisconsin, it's a required extra day and state mandated in-person counseling. And that's what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. So along those notes, where does this change need to come from in order to make telehealth services for Planned Parenthood achievable when it comes to this step of in-person consents? What's the call to action?
It comes down to legislators making an amendment to allow informed consent to be on the phone or the internet through a telehealth option, basically. So people need to call their legislators and demand that these changes be made. Other states are doing it. There's no reason that Wisconsin shouldn't do it. Ideally, these changes should be made indefinitely, but most certainly during a global pandemic.
I would agree with what Barbara said. There are many changes to the landscape of abortion care that we would like to make. But at a minimum, particularly right now in the age of COVID, we need to urge legislators in our state to make sure telemedicine is available for medication abortion services. This is consistent with best practices in clinical medicine and in our professional medical organizations, and it needs to be available to people here in our state as well. I would add that more globally, the people making the decisions about the ways in which abortion care is delivered in our state should be physicians, healthcare practitioners, and not politicians. So, as I mentioned, our mainstream medical professional organizations, including the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. They all advocate for access to abortion, telemedicine for medication abortion. And those things should be absolutely true in our state as well. So we need folks to call and put pressure on their legislators to support telemedicine, particularly right now.
I can't help but think that, especially now, the pandemic is on top of our minds, but as rulings get overturned, as restrictions are more relaxed, the public's attention can easily go on to the next thing. So how do we continue to make access to Planned Parenthood clinics and to care and to telehealth beyond a pandemic at the top of people's minds?
It's a great question. One thing that I do think will keep this issue at the forefront is in June, the Supreme Court is hearing a case that reconsiders an abortion decision that was made in Texas in the Supreme Court case a few years ago. The results of this case are likely to have major ramifications for abortion legislation, whether it's an overturning of Roe or other sorts of restrictions. So I do think that that case will lead to more national attention to this issue, and I hope more attention in our state. In the meantime, we can't lose sight that reproductive health is a critical part of people's overall health during a pandemic and in day-to-day life. And in fact, there's more reason than ever to help people prevent and terminate the pregnancies they don't want to have in an era or in a moment of looming economic recession, drastic increases in unemployment rates, and other factors. So to me, continuing to emphasize that protecting people's health and well-being during COVID, which includes protecting people's abilities to live the lives they want to lead economically and in terms of employment, contraception and abortion are absolutely essential in order to support folks in those endeavors.
Dr. Jenny Higgins is a UW-Madison professor in gender and women's studies and obstetrics and gynecology. Barbara Alvarez is a PhD student at UW-Madison studying information access and abortion.